the Hoop Strategy Podcast, brought to you by the Bayou Cityans. My name is Jesus Acevedo Jr. I'm one of your hosts on this podcast that's a marriage of hoops and astrology. My co-host is the astrological brains behind this whole operation, the Zodiac GM.
What's going on? What's up? What's up?
Zodiac GM, we are back for another episode. It's our 16th episode in this NBA season, and our 16th episode, I guess, overall, right? And, you know, we have a lot of topics that I want to try to get into. But before we get into them, Zodiac, I need you to break us down with our next horoscope that we're breaking down. And now this one, I feel like we've talked about this one a lot, and that's mainly because of LeBron James, right? LeBron James is a Capricorn. Okay. So I know one thing that you told us is that Capricorns, their insignia is a goat. But go ahead, break down Capricorn for us.
Well, Capricorn is a cardinal sign, right? So their element is earth, right? So they're all about initiating an authoritative level. So they make good leaders in an authoritative way, where there's like a lot of rules that they need to follow in that sense, in an earthly sense. They are hardworking and very ambitious. They tend to be a little bit pessimistic, but that's because if their goal there's a blockage of some sort in their goal, they get upset by it because they really want to complete their end goal, right? So yeah, so they're very practical. They are, again, down to earth. They're workaholics. So yeah, that's sort of what you're getting out of a Capricorn. They tend to live life backwards in a sense. What I mean by that, when they're young, they always try to strive for success first. They want to complete their goals first and be successful first and then play later. So it's kind of like they go backwards in life, where once they get everything accomplished that what they seek for in their life, then they're at most happy after they succeed, you know. So that's what you're getting. It seems like for even LeBron James, what you're getting right now. I mean, he's getting up there in age, but hey, he's still going at it. I mean, he's striving for the best in everything, you know, what he's trying to do. So yeah, so that's what you're getting at Capricorn. Some of their best synergy is with Scorpios, Taurus, you know, even Capricorns. Itself could work as well. Pisces. So those are some of the general traits of a Capricorn.
What are some other players besides LeBron that are Capricorn that they you know, demonstrated on the court? Yeah.
Well, two that stands out. LeBron, obviously, and then, of course, Victor Wembanyama. Mm. I mean, it's just a coincidence, right? 20 years apart, getting drafted number one. Seems like he's passing the torch over. And, so he's a Capricorn. So is Eric Gordon, Gary Trent Jr., Trey Jones, JaVale McGee, Kenyon Martin Jr., Will Barton, and Denny Avdija. From Washington. I can't pronounce his last name, but yeah, he's also a Capricorn as well.
The Capricorns, they are the goats, is their insignia. So that is Capricorn for you faithful listeners. And you know, there's a goat in the Houston Rockets, a young goat that the Houston fans, Houston Rockets, and Houston media are really falling over with, and that's Alperen Sengun. And for good reason, right? He is the best player on the roster right now. He was the best player in that draft. I called it on draft night. I said, this guy's going to be the best player on draft night. I even called it, I think, on the other basketball podcast I did before this, on Basketball Fiends. Mm-hmm. I think I had a guest host, and I told him, I'm telling you, this guy is going to be the best player in the draft. And he said that won't bode well for the Rockets, because that means that they picked Jalen Green in that same draft too. But the player they drafted later turns out to be better. But I digress. Yeah. Back to the subject. Alperen Sengun, Zodiac. Uh-huh. A lot of Houston Rockets fans held their breath when he went up for a block in a recent game against the Sacramento Kings. You know, look, Alperen Sengun, the kids call him AP, right? He went for this block in the waning minutes of the game. I think it was like, 45, 50 seconds left. Rockets were up 8. And for a second, you know, once you see the replay, right, you see the replay, and you're like, oh, my God, that's a horrible fall. Like, you know, his ankle, you just see it twisting. Like, you just see it. It looks bad. And, you know, the knee. So, like, this is what I thought for a second. I was like, should he have pulled back? You know, should he have pulled back knowing that it was tough? But my twin, my Gemini twin, tell me that he made the right play, you know, because the game isn't over. And look, you have to make every attempt to block that shot. And that's the kind of mentality that Ime has instilled on this team throughout the season. You play till the whistle is blown. You know, now with all that said, knowing that he got injured, I guess it would have been better for him not to go for the block, right? So
it's unfortunate. But, you know,
it is unfortunate. You know, he was having a most improved player type of season, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. He was definitely up there. And yeah, he's pretty much taking the lead for this whole franchise, you know, and he's showing it. He's backing it up. So that's a big plus for Houston. And, you know, he's fallen, you know, Houston fans falling in love with him, and he's has that great personality, and just someone that you can just adore as a fan, right? Because he has all the talent that's needed to lead a franchise. So yeah.
And look, you want Leo to lead your franchise, which is what Alperen Sengun is. But look, like I said, you know, fans held their breath and they let it out once news came out that it's only a severe sprained ankle and a bruised knee, which to me, I think this puts him out for the rest of the season, right? Like, why rush him back? So now with that said, right, we know he's a Leo. Taking him out of the lineup now, what's the outlook for this Houston Rockets team from an astrological point of view?
Well, there's several angles you can look at this. One, obviously, the talent's going to take a little notch down, right? Because he is very talented, right? So just looking at who's possible replacement for him, there's several ways that I feel like they can still have some ways of getting, you know, some good synergy from this, right? One is, they can put Jock Landale to replace him. That's sort of like a straightforward, but I don't think it's the best option personally, right? So the angle that I'm seeing is that they can utilize a lineup, change up their DNA in a sense, right? In a favorable way. So I feel like maybe if they implement Cam Whitmore into the starting lineup, right? Someone like either Cam Whitmore or Jeff Green. And the reason why I mention that is because if you bring Cam Whitmore into the starting lineup, his energy is actually what's heavily needed for this whole team as a whole. And you can just tell him by just the way he plays. As soon as he enters a game, he just brings that energy and everyone's all of a sudden starts clicking, right? Because his team is dominant in a lot of fixed signs, right? Their core players are fixed signs. Sengun is a fixed sign. Jabari Smith is a fixed sign. Jalen Green's a fixed sign. I mean, I'm going on and on. So Cam Whitmore, he's a Cancer, is a cardinal sign. So cardinal signs are natural leaders. So they complement a fixed sign very, very well, which this team has a lot of. So if you insert him into the starting lineup right away, I feel like the synergy actually improves. Okay, the talent goes down, but the synergy improves, right? They're still a young team, but I personally see that there's some sort of positives to this, right? You know, so either him or even Jeff Green, a veteran, a Virgo, mutable sign that kind of mix match well, and you can utilize Cam Whitmore off the bench heavily as part of that rotation as well. So I feel like they're still going to be very, very competitive if they utilize someone like either Cam Whitmore or Jeff Green off of to kind of replace and move Jabari Smith at the five, you know, and then Dylan Brooks at the four, Whitmore at the three, Jalen Green at the two, and Van Vliet at the one.
So would it be like a 3-2 lineup or more of a 4-1?
I see it more of like a 4-1 lineup. Right, because Brooks, he's sort of like the cusp, right? He's a cusp, so he'll be the power forward, and then the Taurus and Jabari, Cancer, Whitmore, and then Jalen Green would be the odd energy out, but it's okay because you still have enough energies to complement the whole lineup, right? And then Jalen Green can still do what he does. I personally feel Jalen Green is actually might take a step up with Sengun's absence, but not only him, also everything else balances off because Sengun was heavily featured, right? So you can you can use the whatever that was, the minutes and the rotation that was used for him, balance it out for a lot of the other players around this team. And Jalen Green, I feel like, is going to benefit from it. Cam Whitmore, I truly feel, is going to benefit for him. Also Jabari Smith. But keep an eye out for Jabari Smith Jr., Cam Whitmore, and Van Vliet. Those three in particular have a very, very strong synergy. So if they find ways to utilize those three, also can be beneficial as well, like heavily in certain lineups, and then maybe put Jalen Green in a different type of lineup to kind of just let him do his thing, right? So I see a lot of positives coming, you know, from this lineup rotational shift.
It's funny you say Jalen Green step up, because that's who I see as a person that, look, now Sengun, like you said, he was the feature guy, right? Like the game plan was around Sengun. Even when it didn't look like it, that's what the plan was. But I think also is that this is a good opportunity for him to take that step, right? He's had an off and on season, I guess we can say, right? Hot and cold. mostly cold than hot. But when he's been hot, he's been hot, right? We've seen it. So, but yeah, maybe this will be a good opportunity. Now we can see what Jalen Green can do with different energies around him. But look, it's tough to replace Sengun, right? Operating Sengun. You know, he's what do they call him? Baby Jokic? Jokic Light?
Baby Jokic.
So Baby Jokic, he's tough to replace. And speaking of Nikola Jokic, the Denver Nuggets are just really, seems like they just shifted that gear. We're like, all right, we're a little closer to the playoffs. Let's shift into a faster gear. They are playing like the defending champs. You know, they beat the Boston Celtics, they are the team's league with the best record. They beat them twice. And now, you know, you've told us all season long. So you've told me, you told our listeners that Denver is a perfect 5-0 lineup. You know, you tweeted it out and you've said it repeatedly. They are who you picked to win the title. You're like, they just, everything about them syncs up. Even their bench players, you said when they sync up. So, you know, with the Denver Nuggets, I know they're not the best team right now by record, right? But I feel like Denver in the regular season, because of how in sync they are and the experience they have winning that title, you don't worry about them in the regular season. Come to playoffs, you know they're going to, once again, shift another gear and get ready, you know, and hit it hard. And look, since the All-Star break, they have the sixth best defense since the All-Star break. So, you know, and look at Jokic leading the MVP race once again. So he's on his way to getting his third MVP, if I'm not mistaken. Third, right? It's just everything's lining up, you know. So what can you tell us, Neil, about how they sync up so well? Something that maybe you haven't told us, or maybe, you know, you can repeat and just remind us how perfect the Denver Nuggets are.
I feel like they're sort of getting to that point where, hey, it doesn't matter where we finish, we're going to do whatever they need to do in the playoffs. I feel like that they're a veteran team. They have the talent, but their synergy is what sets them apart, you know. And there's not that many teams that have the similar synergy as them. I can think of the Clippers as one of the, you know, them two are probably the best synergy overall in the NBA. And who knows? They can still finish number one. They're only a game behind right now, as we speak, behind the Thunder. So they can still finish first place overall. And it would seem like they're not even trying. Just kind of casually, just watching them throughout the year, it seems like, oh, Nuggets are there, they're there. But you know, they somehow get number one. You're like, how did they get there? It's, you know, I feel like it's so seamless, and you don't hear anything negative about their chemistry, right? Because their chemistry is good, like. And you don't hear any turmoil, nothing like that, because that's just how they have it. First, it starts off with their coach, you know, Mike Malone. He's a Virgo, perfect match for the two Pisces star players that they feature heavily, which is Murray is a Pisces, Jokic obviously is a Pisces, and the rest of their starting unit. There's a very strong core, five-man rotation that plays heavy minutes throughout each and every game throughout the year. So you look at the macro, the bigger picture, you're going to get a lot of positive outcomes off of that alone. And then their bench, pretty much you can just throw anyone off their bench, and then, you know, any combination that they utilize, they're still going to have a strong lineup up there some way, somehow. The Nuggets are still up there. I feel like for a team to beat them in the playoffs, it would have to be a team that has one player that's going to dominate, someone like, a you know, in the East, of course, like Jimmy Butler. Yeah, he just kind of took over by himself. I feel like if there's a team that they come across, because their synergy, I feel like it's elite, right? But I feel like in order to beat a team like the Nuggets, it would have to take a player. It could be any of the player that would have to single-handedly just take over, because that's what I feel like would take to kind of dethrone the Nuggets. And that would have to be in the whole series as well. You know, who knows who it will be? It could be someone from the Pelicans. Who knows? It could be KD just stepping up and just dominating. It could even be Booker if he comes back. But who knows? You know, but I feel like that's how good the Denver Nuggets is as a team. You would need something special from a player to be elite, to be above everyone else, to actually beat a good team like the Nuggets.
But even then, it's like they would have to be special for four games, right? And I mean, sometimes being special, exactly, maybe you get two, three games, but being that special, like I'm talking about, maybe 50, 60 point games, and luck, right? Luck plays a role, and that's why it's tough. You know, I don't think there's many of those players right now that can just go off and just carry a team. Maybe we have players that can carry a team to a victory, maybe two games, you know, but four. Uh-huh. That's tough against a team that is just so completely in sync. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if we have a Clippers Nuggets Western Conference Finals, and then that'll be the ultimate. You know, that then by the end that point, we'll have to break them down by, you know, their signs and which sign does what, right? Because those are right. 2-5-0 lineups.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the Clippers are a little bit with, because I don't know what the status is for Westbrook, but that is a big factor. Because he's perfect for the rotational flow, right? I mean, I don't know if the Clippers are going to still have him in the playoffs. But yeah, I see definitely the Clippers up there because they're more top heavy in talent and synergy. You know, where the Nuggets are also similar. The Timberwolves, oh man, it hurts so much with Towns being out. I mean, it's just, you know, if he comes back, hey, who knows? Anything can happen. So. Thunder is also up there. They're young, talented. You know, their synergy is a little bit more spread evenly. But, you know, we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes. And, you know, another team that has shifted into a different gear since the All-Star break is the New Orleans Pelicans. They are surging. They have the best defense in the NBA since the All-Star break with 105 points allowed per 100 possessions. 39-25, 7-3 in their last 10, and winners of the last 4, unbeaten so far in March. And look, the New Orleans Pelicans, I feel like they kind of started slow. You know, they didn't suck. I won't say they were one of the bad teams, but they were just kind of just there, just, you know, just weathering the storm, you know, trying to like still find itself, you know, is Zion going to play today or not? You know, I mean, they're dealing with the sign. But we've seen when Zion plays, look, when he plays, he's been good, right? That's the issue.
Exactly.
He played, but I don't think we talked about the Pelicans in a long time. So remind us, how are the Pelicans aligned and, you know, with the lineups that they use?
So the Pelicans have a strong synergy starting unit, right? So they have what we call 4-1, where they have four compatible energies in the lineup compared to one, which Herbert Jones would be the odd energy out. But it works well because they still have four energies that are very compatible, right? Valanciunas, he's a Taurus, and he holds it down at the center position. Williamson is a Cancer, so Taurus-Cancer connection is really, really strong. Brandon Ingram, he's a Virgo, so he's a mutable sign. So those three I just mentioned, it's a very strong trifecta, right? The fixed cardinal mutable connection, and then CJ McCollum is also a Virgo. So those four, it's a very strong four, and they're all starting units. So Herbert Jones, he's sort of like that defensive specialist, and it's okay to have him. So because his role is sort of like limited to that, right? Which is perfectly fine, and he can shoot as well. And but also, you know, keeping an eye with the head coach, because Willie Green's a Leo. He is opposite of those core four that I just mentioned, but he's making it work. You know, the thing about Leos are they're what I like to call culture setters, right? So they set the tone in a cultural way, like Ime Udoka. You know, so any coach that's a fixed sign, a Spoelstra being a Scorpio, they're good at setting the culture, right? And that's what's needed for any basketball team, because you don't want anyone to just kind of go out of whack and just, you know, not have any structure. But having a fixed coach, fixed sign, sets that tone. So they have a good foundation there, but I am keeping an eye about how the synergy is with the coach with those core four. And then so far they're doing really well. I would like to consider them as a dark horse team, because, you know, if they get lucky in the playoffs, I feel like certain matchups they can pretty much dominate. And, you know, if they do face, you know, Denver or Clippers, they have a shot. You know, they have a strong shot to actually surprise many. So we'll see how that goes.
You know, it's funny you were mentioning Herb Jones. I saw this stat on NBA.com that I had to go back and find. Because you were saying, you know, he's like their 3-and-D guy, right? And he reminds me a lot of Bruce Bowen. And I'm not saying into playing style, whatever. Both are great defenders. But Bruce Bowen made a living on that corner three. You know, he set up camp. Ooh. He built a house there. He built a mansion. That was his spot, was a corner three. And he was a great defensive player. Herb Jones, 4-for-6 in their last game. He's sixth in the league with 56 corner threes for the season. Sixth in the league, and, wow. And you know, for a 3-D guy, that's what you want, right? You want the guy, you stay in the corner, and you just make sure that when you pass it, hit the shot, so that way you can, you know, help spread the floor, you know. But what I find interesting too is that Trey Murphy has been their leading scorer in the past 4 games. You know, which just goes to show you that, yeah, you know, Brandon Ingram gets a lot of love, CJ McCollum, really? You know, Zion Williamson, even Herb Jones, but Trey Murphy is the one that has been kind of leading the way here. Let me see this stat I saw that kind of jumped out at me, right?
I think Dyson Daniels has been injured as well, and he's a big help.
Yeah, Trey Murphy the third, got to give him that third, 25 points per game. Shot 24 for 46%, 52% for a three-point range over this four-game winning streak. So, you know, it just goes to show you they have talent. You know, they have talent, and they're putting it together. Look, I think you need Zion on this team, right? He needs to be part. I know there's still talent without him, but I think he adds a different dimension that opens up also the game for different players. So, look. Four of the last five Pelicans games have come against teams that rank top 10 offensively. So to me, that tells me that this team is gearing for the playoffs, right? They see it, right? They see the potential that they have. They're like, okay, we need to treat these games like playoff games. These are top 10 offensively teams. And in the playoffs, we know what it is, right? Scoring goes down. Mm-hmm. It's all about defense. Every possession matters. So that's one thing I like about the Pelicans. You know what New Orleans is also known for? As I transition to our last topic, Zodiac, gambling. Are you a gambler?
Oh, no. I'm not a gambler. Are you?
I get down with a little blackjack here and there, you know, but that's about it. It's because that's a game I feel I can control, right? I'm not a fan of like craps or like, you know, the you know, what's that thing you spiel, the roulette? Because then you're just guessing, right? At least blackjack, I can make some decisions, right?
Yeah.
But something else that other people have gotten into besides, you know, the traditional betting is sports betting. Mm-hmm. And we're speaking about sports here because Rudy Gobert was fined recently $100,000 for an action that he directed towards a ref when he got a technical foul. He flashed them the money signs, you know, and what he was insinuating later on when he was interviewed was he was alluding to the fact about the NBA and the sport betting partner situation, you know, because let's remind people, the NBA has two sports betting partners, DraftKings and FanDuel. They're the co-official sports betting partners, right? So, I'm going to read you Rudy Gobert's quote, and then I want you to tell me, based on his sign, you know, what does that tell us, all right? So here's a quote.
Okay.
He says, "I'll bite the bullet again. I'll be the bad guy again. That speaks what I think is the truth, and hopefully the league. I mean, they're probably going to fine me, and once again, I'll take the fine, but I think it's hurting our game. I know the betting and all that is becoming bigger and bigger, but it shouldn't feel that way." End quote. So what is that? What can you tell us about his sign and how he explained more about his actions that he flashed his money signs to the ref?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is just the him being a cardinal sign of a Cancer, right? So anyone that's a cardinal sign, they're the ones to initiate any form or fashion, right? Whether it's anything that, you know, in this case, he initiated that what he did with the money sign, which led to a fine. But he also has a strong belief because he has a Taurus moon. So the thing with Taurus moon is they're very... once they have a belief on something that they feel strongly about, they're going to stick to it, right? And that's being being filtered through his Cancer cardinal energy, which sends off that initiation, that movement of creation of, you know. So he had that mentality and that thought, and he let, you know, he expressed his opinion, and kind of that's how it kind of led to, you know. So he is that Cancer Taurus energy. So yeah, I mean, that's just the way he feels, and you know, that's his emotion speaks volumes for that. And unfortunately, he got fined. Of course, he's also known for the whole, you know, COVID thing. He was the one that initiated that as well. You know, with that press conference thing that he did, which you know,
like, you need to get out of my head. You need to get out of my head because I had that in my notes right here that I was going to read next. Exactly. You know, so 4 years ago. So today is March 11 when we're recording this, faithful listeners. That's when the NBA canceled the game. We found out Tom Hanks and his wife Rita had COVID. Like everything happened. And of course, you know, earlier that week was Rudy Gobert, like just like you mentioned, Zodiac, pressing all the, you know, microphones with this, you know, COVID joke. But yeah, so it's funny you say that about Rudy Gobert, because yeah, he's very outspoken, right? He when he feels that he needs to say something, you know, it's not the first time that he's been fined for making comments or for things like that. But it speaks a lot. And even when the whole, I remember when he was with Utah Jazz, right? And him and Davion Mitchell, you know, which I'm blanking out on Davion Mitchell's sign, and I don't know if he used to get along with Rudy Gobert, but there was
Donovan Mitchell was wait, for the Jazz? Oh, Donovan Mitchell was the Virgo.
Well, interesting, because Cancer Virgo do get along, but I know they had some friction among them, right, at the time, and Rudy Gobert was open about that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what hang on. Because it also matters with their moon signs, but in general, I mean, their core personality is compatible. You could tell on the floor they did have some success in Utah as well. So, so let's see, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, you know, I think I do find it very interesting about the comments he made, because I have thought about that myself. Is that, hey, why are these sports leagues, and you know, we can take this out of the NBA, why are these sports leagues partnering with the betting company, right? It seems a bit unusual. You know, I guess it's a way to bring money, obviously, and because look, you can bet on anything now, right? You can bet on, you know, Rudy Gobert is going to get a technical foul. Hey, maybe that ref had a parlay on that, right? There was this video that went viral, I think it was last week. Buddy Hill, a fan, told Buddy Hill, hey, hit one more three for my parlay. Buddy Hill saw him, really? And just kind of like, he kind of smiled. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You know, maybe he heard him, so maybe he didn't. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. He just smiled. Maybe he heard him, maybe he didn't. But then, you know, when Buddy Hill got in the game, he hit another three. So take that for what you will.
It can affect players. Yeah, it could affect the dynamics of basketball if it's heavily used. I mean, as much as possible, I think they you know, they don't want the refs to be involved in that, because that's, you know, favoritism, you know, and all that. So that's an interesting concept. And you know, what do you feel? Do you agree with Rudy Gobert's stance on that? Or
I you know, there's a documentary on Netflix about I'm blanking out on the disgrace NBA ref, you know, and he pretty much made it seem that, you know, you can. There has been some NBA gambling associated with some refs. You know, one of them got caught. So but now that was even back then, when betting wasn't legal. So you had to do it through like these bookies, right? And the mob was involved and all that. But now the NBA has partnered with the organizations that you can bet with. So I think it's very shaky ground. And I mean, I know why the NBA did it, right? It's money.
Yeah.
Right. But
money making business. So it's,
I think they also have to understand that when you do these partnerships, you're going to open yourself to have it to these kind of conversations being had about you. And like I said, not just the NBA, right? The NFL, you know, MLS, NHL, MLB, they all have some kind of partnership with either DraftKings or, you know, some other sort of sports betting organization. So I'd say I wouldn't support it, but, you know, that's where we are in the world where capitalism makes the money go round.
And I looked up Donovan Mitchell. He's a Virgo Cancer, and so yeah, they are very compatible. But of course, with a lot of these energies, you know, just because they're compatible or not doesn't mean that they don't get along or not. I mean, natural emotional reactions do happen, but a lot of these synergies, it's more like the potential of the good and bad, right? But in general, they are compatible. I mean, they did show it on the court. They did have some successful runs in Utah. So you know, just because of you know, like in relationships as well, you know, you can have the two most compatible, you know, husband and wife, but, you know, they can have a disagreement and something can lead one way or another. You know, it's all about understanding each other as well. So, you know, that's the turmoil that happened with Rudy Gobert. And of course, Donovan Mitchell kind of disagreed on that, but that's a natural emotional reaction as well. So, you know,
And look, they had a good run and they had a great run for the number of years that they're playing. Sometimes you just have to see how it is on the other pasture, you know? And speaking of teams getting in a row and teams going on a run, next week will be our first college NCAA focus episode. So like, we're going to be going through some teams that are going to be taking place in the NCAA March Madness tournament. Now, a little forewarning is that, you know, there's so many teams, right, in the March Madness tournament, 68, I think. So we're definitely not going to do all of them. We'll do some of the top, and we'll kind of, you know, What kind of prognosticize a prediction? Sorry, is what I meant to say. How they could do based on the zodiac signs. So definitely, listeners, come back for that. Yeah. Zodiac GM, any final words on this 16th episode?
Hey, just follow us on Twitter X, Zodiac GM or Hoopstrology.
And follow me, Jesus_Salvador Jr., and follow the Bayou Cidian. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.